The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the first chapter. John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to John, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and John ate locusts and wild honey. John proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like him, like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Please be seated. Grace and peace be unto you from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
In the beginning, God created light, and he saw that the light was good. And then God separated the light from the darkness. And the light was day, and the darkness was night. This evening, darkness will fall upon us. Tomorrow, we will experience a high temperature of minus 14 degrees Celsius. Wind will be out of the northwest at about 25 kilometers an hour. Tomorrow, you will feel at some point in the day thirsty. At some point in the day tomorrow, you will feel hungry. As your day draws to a close, you will start to feel sleepy. You will go to sleep, and life will repeat. How do I know all these things to be true? These things are part of the created order of life. We know that the sun will rise in the east and set in the west. Meteorologists have a good sense of what the weather will be tomorrow because they can see the prevailing winds, they can see the jet stream, they understand tomorrow will be warmer than today. We know exactly to the second how long the sun will be out, that will be day, and we know to the second how long the sun will be gone, and that will be night. We know that our bodies must consume so many liters of liquid every day. We know that we must consume calories every day to function. We know that we need sleep every day. These things are true for all of humanity. Jew or Gentile, Muslim or Hindu, atheist or believer. This is the created order that the world lives under. It goes from the big, from the sun coming up, to the small, to two little atomic particles of hydrogen joining with one part oxygen to form water. The created order is all around us. Human beings recognize that this creation is not simply a mistake, not simply a fluke of nature, not simply a roll of the dice, but there is a divine hand involved in creation. That we have just the right nitrogen in the soil to grow crops, that our bodies can breathe the oxygen and expel the harmful toxins. We recognize when to plant and grow. We recognize when to harvest. We recognize that we need to eat and drink. And this has been true since the beginning of creation. Since God separated that first day, that first light from darkness. As human beings, we instinctively know this. We just have to look at archaeology and anthropology to see 10,000 years ago, human beings all over the world, the Aztec and the Inca and the Mayans in South America, First Nations people in North America, the Babylonians and the Egyptians, what we call the Middle East today, moving all the way into the Orient. We see in Western Europe with Celtic and Celtic religions that human beings are worshiping a power beyond themselves. They are worshiping gods of harvest and gods of fertility and gods of rain and you name it. Because instinctively we recognize that there is a power greater than ourselves. That something makes all this work. The sun to come up where it comes up, the rain to fall how it falls, the plants and vegetation to grow how they grow, the miracle of life to consummate and come into being. And so human beings, regardless of their place in the earth, worship. They pray, they sing, they dance, and they worship. Now the names they put on this worship, the ways in which they worship, the stories behind these worships can be radically different. But the underlying reality is, as human beings, all of us, each one regardless of ancestry or place of birth, are all created in the image of God. We all share in this primal creation. We all need to breathe oxygen and drink water. We all need to eat food. We all rely on the rain to fall from the skies. We are all dependent on a power or a God beyond ourselves. It's an amazing thing. We become so accustomed to it that we often take it for granted. When we speak of science or chemistry or physics, what we are speaking of is God's interaction with the world. We are speaking of a grand design. We are speaking of something that's been put into place to support us. All of this supports us. All of this feeds us. All of this helps us grow and experience the joy and the difficulties of life. But God has not simply just ordered our primal experience. God has not simply just ordered creation. But God has also brought into order our lives as human beings. And this is where we come into our belief, into our Judeo-Christian belief. We see from the book of Genesis moving forward, we see the first part of Genesis creating the created order, God creating the created order, separating water from earth and light from darkness and having the animals named Adam and Eve. All these things we see God in action. We jump forward four whole chapters in the Bible and we see the call of Abraham. And now we see God not just simply involved in the created order, helping trees to grow and rain to fall, but we see God involved in the human order. We see God bringing order to life. Here is how you interact with one another. Here is how daughters are to marry boys and boys are to court daughters. Here's how disputes are to be settled. We move forward into Moses, into what's often called the big book of laws in Deuteronomy, the kosher food laws. And God says, here's how you should eat. Here are the foods you should stay away from. Yeah, those shellfish don't do very good in the desert sun. You better be careful of pork since you don't have a refrigeration unit. And our lives with one another become more ordered. God says to those with farms, hey, make sure when you're harvesting this fall's crop, you leave 10% in the field for the widows, the sick, and the orphans, so they can come behind you and have food to eat. God tells us how much we should tithe. God tells us how we should elect our government. God tells us how we should settle disputes. And the order of our world increases. And then as Christians, blessed with the knowledge of Christ, God's Son, it's not just a message of salvation. It's not just a message of death and cross and resurrection, but we also see again how we more fully live human-ordered lives. Not laws, but a guidebook that says, hey, if you want to receive the fullness of life, take a look at that guy. So Jesus comes, and he brings all these laws and orders into being in the clarity for us. They say to Jesus, what's the most important law? There's 612 in the Old Testament. Jesus, what's the most important? Jesus says, hey, love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul. And the second is just like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. And so Jesus makes love the defining lens of how we order our lives. But Jesus also gives us insights. You know, today, my family's not here. They're in Lloydminster at a high Island Dad's educational seminar and learning event. And for our family, this puts our life out of order. I don't feel right about that. I struggle with it. We remember the third commandment, remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. And then Jesus clarifies that for us. And he clarifies it through the lens of love. And, you know, Jesus' disciples, they're picking some, you know, heads and ears of grain to eat because they're hungry on the Sabbath. And people are standing there saying, oh, Jesus is breaking all the laws. And Jesus says, look, man wasn't made for the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made for man. And so Jesus provides an order and says, look, God has created you. And God has created you to worship. But God has also created you to rest. God has created you to spend time with your family. God has created you to spend time in prayer. God has created you to spend time in worship. God has created you not simply to make one day just like the next, but to take a moment to enjoy creation, to enjoy life, to enjoy the blessing of family and friends and all these things. And so for me today, I've fallen outside of our family's created order. If you feel in your life that things just aren't quite right, if you feel that you're struggling against things, if you feel frustrated with things, if you go to bed holding some sort of, for lack of a better term, anger or anguish, look at yourself and wonder, with the created order that God has provided you, how are you in tension with it? Are you working too much? Are you not loving enough? Are you not experiencing enough forgiveness, enough hope? Are you praying enough? Are you studying enough? Are you seeing kindness and friendship around you enough? Are you seeing the world through the lens of Christ-like love? Because when we find ourselves as human beings, people meant to live in a system, in this system of creation, taking in oxygen and water, living from the fruits of the earth, but also in a system of humanity, a system of one another. If we find ourselves in tension with this God-given system, if parents find themselves in tension with children, ask, how are we not honoring one another? How are we not loving one another? How are we not supporting one another? There are proverbs, there's even a fourth commandment, on it, you name it. We have a guidebook. This isn't a matter of legalism. Follow these laws and you'll be happy. What I'm speaking of is defining for yourself, how do you see yourself in God's order? How do you see yourself in relationship with your neighbor? Are you at enmity with one another? Is there discord? That will cause you a lot of stress and grief. Because you're not created to be in discourse with your neighbor. Are you experiencing sickness? This will cause you discord. This will cause you distress and grief and sadness. Why? Because God didn't create us to be sick. These things are a reality of sin. This is not the life we see in the promised garden. It's not the life that we are called to in the promise of salvation. We are in this in-between period. And so sin pulls us out of God's created order. Sin makes marriages less than supportive. Sin causes disharmony amongst parents and children. Sin causes governments to go to war with one another. Sin pulls us away from God's created order. As we come to today's gospel reading, and we start with the ministry of Christ, this is his launching point for ministry. And Christ starts with a baptism for the forgiveness of sins, because Christ wants to say to us, here is the order. Christ didn't need to be baptized. But Christ says to us, I am going to submit to John the Baptist. He kneels down in the water before John the Baptist, and he is doing something. All the people watching this have to be saying, hey, this is Jesus. And he's kneeling before John. But once again, we see Christ making himself small to build us up. And so Christ makes him small so that we come to baptism as the start of our lives. The start of our lives with one another, and the start of our lives with God. When we recognize our baptisms, we recognize that we often live in conflict with the created order. We live in conflict with one another. We live in conflict with creation. We consume more than we need. We damage the earth more than we should have, whatever it may be. And so we always come back to baptism to start. We seek forgiveness to put ourselves right with God. But there's also that message of repentance. And the word repent means to change direction. And so this isn't simply a pat on the head, things are okay, go on and live your life. When we experience the forgiveness of God, we're also called to live more in harmony with God's order. To live more in harmony with the Sabbath. Husbands to live more in harmony with their wives, and wives to live more in harmony with their husbands. Children and parents to live in harmony with one another. Neighbors to live in harmony with one another. Because this is what we are created to do. This is what we're called to do. There are things I can guarantee you. I can guarantee you the sun will rise in the east tomorrow. I can guarantee you that you will need oxygen, that you will need water, that you will need food. But I can also guarantee you that you will experience a more fullness of life if you see yourself as part of God's order. Not at war with the world, not at war with people, but part of God's order. Whatever relationship you find yourself in, you are meant to be in that relationship. And you have the gifts to strengthen that relationship. And you can strengthen that relationship with love. And if need be, you can strengthen that relationship with forgiveness. And in a worst case scenario, you can strengthen that relationship simply by excluding yourself from it. But either way, we are called to see the order that we find ourselves in, the lens of Christ. And that is a lens of love. How do we build people up? How do we support things that are ongoing? How do we look and find the Spirit of God? We can live in harmony with nature. We understand that. But we can live in harmony with one another. Regardless of creed or tradition or family origin or place of birth or whatever it may be, all of us, every single human being on this planet, from the day of Adam, is created in the image of God. Every single person on this planet, from the day of Adam, is blessed with the gifts of creation. After all, the rain falls on all the farmers' fields, not just that go to church. The rain, the sun shines on all the countries, not just those who proclaim they're Christian. God is loving. God is generous. But through Christ, we also have a deeper knowledge. Creation is not simply about the primal. It's not simply about the things the air that we breathe and the things that we eat. But creation is also about us. It is about how we interact with one another. And as Christ starts his ministry, he starts his ministry by baptism. As we start our relationship with one another, we are called to start with baptism. Because when we start with baptism, we recognize that we are fallible. We recognize that we're not perfect. We recognize that there is something beyond ourselves. But we also recognize that there is always hope. For in baptism there is forgiveness, and in forgiveness there is always hope. No relationship is ever lost. No event is too dark to experience light. No sickness is too great for God to intercede upon. No war is too violent for God to bring peace to. Because it starts with the small, and then it works to the big. And as we go throughout this year and we fall with the ministry of Christ, we will see Christ starting with the small. He will call a few people. He will preach a few sermons, he will give a few teachings, and it will grow, and the crowds will grow, and his name will grow, and it will go to the cross, and the tomb will be empty. And the biggest thing that God can give us, salvation, will have won the day. Thanks be to God. Amen.